I said I wasn't nervous, but I guess I still am. Well, welcome here. So, how are you guys all? How are you doing? You guys good?
Good.
You're good? Good. Excellent. So, I'm here today to share a family story, a work story, and John will share some scriptures. I might even crack open some paint and touch this thing up a little bit. So, most of you know me. I think everybody here knows me. But anyway, I'm a Christian, and I've been at this church for about 7 years. I have an amazing husband, John. Happy Father's Day. And we have 4 kids and 5 grandchildren. We just got back from Calgary visiting our newest little one, Miles, and he'll be 3 weeks old tomorrow. So I work at Deer Lodge Center in therapeutic recreation. I get to plan a lot of programs on the rehab unit to help build their strength cognitively and physically and help them get ready to go home or wherever they're going next. So sometimes life is hard, really, really hard. But God is good, and I know He could carry me through anything that comes my way. Sometimes when I'm doing my devotions, I get the feeling that I'm supposed to do something extra for God. And this is one of those times. So sharing this, So today's program was inspired by my relationship with my father, a client at work, and my Heavenly Father. So it's kind of long, so I'll jump in. So I come from a family with 4 children, 3 girls and a boy. And the boy, my baby brother, well, he's 50 now. When I was a teenager, my dad was inappropriate with us girls, and I told my grandma, my mom's mom, and she told my mom what was happening. And after that, my dad went around the house angry at us and verbally abusive because we were making him move out, and it was all our fault. Anyway, one day I was fed up, and I yelled at him to buzz off. Well, I might have used different language, but you get the point. The abuse had stopped back when I told my grandma, and the anger and verbal abuse stopped after I told him off. And we, after a while, it was a while, we started acting like a family again. So in 1984, I got married and I became a Christian in 1987 at a Barrymore crusade. It was then that I learned what it meant to forgive and to be forgiven. It was I determined at that point to forgive the past and decided not to let that have a hold on me ever again. Some years later, my dad left my mom for another lady, and my mom was furious. So she went and told dad's mom and his wife about what happened when we were teens. When I was asked if it was true, I answered yes, but that was years ago, and it was over and forgiven. We have a good family now, and I'd like to keep it that way. His new wife didn't like that at all. She said that we would never be able to see my dad again, and that was the end of it. We never saw him again, except for at a funeral or a mall. He was always polite at these chance meetings. 15 years ago, Dad ended up in the hospital here in Winnipeg with colon cancer. We went to go see him, and we actually had a good visit. He was introduced to our 2 youngest children, who were teenagers at the time. And we caught up on what was going on and played a little backgammon. He invited us back, and so we went a few times that week. One night, his wife called and asked me to take back what was said when we were teenagers. I said, I can't change the past. It's over and forgiven, but we could have a future together. It would be nice for the kids to have their grandpa in their lives and for us to move on. And she said, that will never happen. The next day, my dad called from the hospital and told me we could no longer visit. He said it was just too hard. He said he was crying when he said that, and I cried so hard too. I was in my bed for a few days, just devastated. While lying there, I felt like my Heavenly Father wanted me to forgive him. And I thought, how many times do I have to be hurt and forgive? And God said, 70 times 7. I did not want to do it again. I was crippled with grief, and still the prompting was there to forgive. I felt like I was supposed to write him a letter, and I did so. I wrote him how much I was hurting, my hopes and plans for our family, and I wrote that he was forgiven because God had forgiven me. I do not think I ever sent that letter. In fact, I don't even know what happened to it. But God used that process to help me heal. The incredible heaviness was lifted, and I was able to get up and live my life again. So jump ahead 15 years to this March. I get a call from my sister saying that Dad's back in the hospital, his cancer is back, and he's dying, and he wants to talk to me. He wants to apologize. I told her that if he wanted to talk, he'd have to call me. I had stepped out too many times and been hurt too many times. I also told her that she can assure him that he's been forgiven and he could die in peace, like knowing that. 2 days later, she texted me from the hospital saying that she was with him and he wanted to talk. I called and we had a great conversation. He said sorry for not being around, and he told me, and I told him he was forgiven. He asked if I could get everybody together to see him. He expected to be around until July, and he really, really needed to talk to everyone. I said I would try. The next Saturday, I thought I could go visit him, or I could shovel my roof. I chose to shovel my roof. It was easier. Sunday, March 6th, John and I drove to Steinbach to see Dad. I told him John and Karen were here to see him. And he looked at me and he said, "Where are they?" And I said, "It's me. I'm an old lady now." Last time he saw me, I had long brown hair and a lot less wrinkles. I showed him pictures of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and he said, "I have great-grandchildren?" His roommate must have thought this was the most interesting conversation going on from behind the curtain. Dad told me again that he was sorry for not being there for us. He stated that his wife was good to him, but she should have made her. He should have made her love us. I said, "Yeah, it's too bad. We're good people." I also said that she could have loved us if she gave us a chance. He also said he was sorry for calling us from the hospital and kicking us out of his life 15 years ago. I asked if we should stay or if we should leave, and he said he wanted us to be part of his life. He named other specific things that he was sorry for, and he also said that if his pain and cancer was punishment for his behavior, then he deserved and he accepted it. I reassured him that he was forgiven for all of that and it was okay. Dad stated that he quit smoking and drinking. He mentioned that he had a good relationship with God and that he could talk to him anytime, like a friend. He said that he had many talks with a pastor and a chaplain. He said he prayed for forgiveness. We prayed together for forgiveness and thank God for the blessings and the fact that heaven is waiting for all those who believe. We parted on good terms. That Wednesday, he left the hospital to finish his last few months at home. 4 days later, he was readmitted and we were told to come. He would not make it through the night. My youngest sister and I did shifts. She stayed the nights, and I stayed during the day. Dad was only able to say a few words here and there, and often they didn't make sense. He would sometimes mumble towards the ceiling as if he was bargaining with God. At times, he would cry and say, "Help me," or yell, "No, no." All the time, he was fighting the end. He never did get a chance to apologize to my other sister and my brother for the abandonment and betrayal and I believe that was torturing him. In the end, it was like he was running with all his might. His heart was pounding so hard, and he was breathing so fast. I'm not sure if he was running from something or to something. I guess I'll never know. I tell you this because I know some people think they have all the time in the world to make things right with those people around them. But what happens if it becomes too late? Regret is a horrible thing. So I encourage everyone to do what it says in Romans 12:18. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, to live at peace with everyone. I encourage you to make things right with your kids, your siblings, your parents, your friends, your neighbors. You may never get another chance. Some people think they have all the time in the world to accept Jesus. Again, people need to examine their lives and see where they stand with their Heavenly Father. I challenge you to take a leap of faith and trust Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Our Heavenly Father wants so badly to have a relationship with you and to share his love with you and to spend an eternity together with you. So I'm going to change subjects. I'm going to do this. Next page. So do any of you guys like doing crafts? Yeah? No? Maybe? Yeah? A few friends and I, good friends, started painting last summer as a pandemic hobby. And I enjoyed it so much, I started painting at work with clients. And it proved to be very therapeutic for them, and to my surprise, for me as well. So a strange thing happened at work. Dad had died on Saturday, March 19th. And on the 23rd, just a few days later, I'm taking an elderly client for a tour, and we're looking at the stained glass windows, and we're looking at all the paintings down the hall. And she asked, how often you paint? And I said, every 2 weeks or so. And she said, what are you doing next? And I said, I don't know. She says, you have to paint end of life. This is just so fresh for me. I was stunned. I said, what does that look like to you? She says, I don't know. I said, I don't know either. I said, it could look different to different people. It could be, you know, getting ready to go home to heaven or Jesus. It could be being surrounded by people or friends. It could be painful. It could be a bunch of things. And anyway, so she said she would think about it. And that night, I went home and I searched Google for different ideas. And we came up, there's a lot of doom and gloom pictures if you Google end of life. Some of them are really sad. But there's also some stage of life paintings where it was like a boy and a girl and then them getting married and then an older couple with canes and then tombstones and all done well, but not my idea of what we wanted to do. But the next morning I woke up and there was a tutorial on my phone for A Stairway to Heaven. And it was this painting, and it was a step-by-step how-to. I brought this client. She gave me permission to share this story, by the way. I brought a bunch of ideas to this client, and she chose The Stairway to Heaven. So, I was gathering clients to do this painting, and we had the most amazing conversations. I was surprised that people 65 plus have no problem talking about death. We had some great conversations. But one guy said something that kind of made me stop and think. He said, why is it a stairway to heaven and a highway to hell? And it's like, I don't know. So everybody else I went to inviting to this painting is like, you know what so-and-so said? And so we had a lot of cool talks. So we had four people show up to do the painting. It was a 2x2 one at work. And it turned out great. And of all the paintings we've done, and we've done 20-some paintings by now, that one still continues to draw the most interesting conversations during our weekly tours. So John's going to come up and help me with this painting. And then he's going to share some scripture with you. So give us a second. I thought I was going to have to touch that thing up. And so John was going to do the end of my speech, the end of my talk, while I painted and cleaned this up. I was concerned because when the paint dries, it sometimes tears off where it's not supposed to. But it looks like Jesus, right?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Whew, it worked. Okay. John was going to take over here because I thought I was going to have to clean up all the edges and whatever. But, So he was going to say, when Karen told me that she was doing a painting on a stairway of heaven with a client, the first thing that came to mind was this song with the same name. A lady who's sure all that glitters in gold is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. So there, the Google rabbit hole takes you to a few different meanings to that song, and we're not going to go there. On slide two... we'll get to that in a minute. Here's what the Bible says about a stairway to heaven. So Jacob was pretty much a secular individual. Even though he had a godly heritage, he had conned his brother out of his birthright and his father's blessing. And during his trip from Beersheba to Haran, while sleeping in the dust, he had a dream. So Genesis 28, 12, and 13 describes the scene for us. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Jacob's dream of his stairway to heaven and hearing the voice of God transformed him into a believer and a true follower of the Lord. Then in the New Testament, in John 1:51, Jesus said to Nathanael, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's Jesus. Jacob's ladder, or his stairway to heaven, is pictured again in this passage, and the angels ascending and descending upon that, descending proclaim that the way to God is open. The stairway is none other than Jesus himself. Through him, we have access to the Father. Jesus very clearly said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So there are many ways to share the salvation message, but today we'll use the ABCs. So A, admit that you have messed up and ask our Heavenly Father for forgiveness. So Romans 10, it says, no one is righteous. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior that has paved the way to heaven and a right relationship with God. So Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. C, call on his name. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. Romans 14:11, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you're a believer today, a believer in Jesus Christ today, you shall see heaven open. You are going to be there. What was just a vision in the Old Testament for you will be fulfilled. Right now, we walk by faith not by sight. But someday we'll see with our own eyes Jesus, and then we'll be able to worship our Heavenly Father face to face. So focus on Jesus. For those who will be listening to this message on the website later and you can't see the picture, we started with a picture of a stairway to heaven. Now it's been transformed into a picture of Jesus with the stairway of heaven on it. So focus on Jesus. He is the only one who could take you from the dust of the earth to the glory of heaven and the presence of our Heavenly Father. So we can pray. It's like, thank you, Jesus, Heavenly Father, for your gift of relationship with you. Thank you for the Bible that speaks to our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us. Thank you, Lord, for heaven. I pray that you would forgive all the times that I did not put you first, for the times that I outright turned my back to you. Show me, Lord, what I need to do to heal my relationships with you and those around me. I pray that you would heal our hearts, heal our relationships, and draw us nearer to you. Amen.